Hey, welcome to Shir and Svarno Pashas Baloscha. The Shir this evening is sponsored by Mrs. Esther Jacob, marking the yard site tonight of her late husband, Heshi Jacob, Tzvi Moshe, and Shalom Yaakov, the Neshama should have an Aliyah, Shasim Mosh Nachas, Ruach, and the Torah Mitzvahs, and Maisim Tovim, that the entire family is involved in. I want to spend tonight talking about the last perek, last episode in Pashas Baloscha. And that concerns the Miriam and Aaron speaking against Moshe Rabbeinu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's defense of Moshe Rabbeinu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's description of the unique type of nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu possessed. So I just want to start first tonight a little bit atypically, not talking about what the Sfarno says, but rather talking about what he doesn't say, which I find a little bit puzzling, but I don't really have a good explanation for it, so I'll just bring it to your attention. This particular section opens up, the beginning of Perek Yud Beis, about Tadabir Miriam v'Aaron b'Moshe. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu, Al Odos Ho'isha HaKushis Asher Lokoch, concerning the woman from Kush whom he had married, because indeed he had married a Cushi woman, a woman from Cush. What's going on over there? What exactly did they speak against Moshe Rabbeinu? So again, we know there's a ton of discussion on this point. Chazal understand that the Isha HaKushis, that this woman from Cush who's being described over here, is none other than Tzipora. And the issue is not the fact that he married Tzipora. The issue is actually the fact that he separated from Tzipora. That after Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah, and that was a point in time when all of Klal Yisrael separated from their wives, so Moshe Rabbeinu was told to go tell Klal Yisrael, Shuvu lachem li'olechem. Okay, now you can resume regular marital intimacy with your wives. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, V'ato po amodi modi, you should stay with me. In other words, because of the nature of your nevuah, because of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to Moshe Rabbeinu all the time and without warning, so you always have to be in a state of tahara, a state of purity, and that really is going to preclude you from being able to carry on regular marital intimacy with your wife. So essentially, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu starts living apart from his wife at that time. So this comes to the attention of Aaron and Miriam. They're upset about it. They feel it's inappropriate for Moshe Rabbeinu to act that way vis-a-vis his wife. And that's the cause for their diburim, for their speaking against Moshe Rabbeinu. All of that is encapsulated in this pasuk that talks about how they spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu, Al Odos Ho'isha HaKushis Asher Lokoch, concerning the woman whom he had married, which again, according to Chazal, basically means not so much, wasn't that they were talking about the fact that he had married Tzipora, but rather the fact that he had separated from Tzipora. That's Chazal's interpretation of the pasuk. That's Rashi brings that interpretation. There are other Rishonim who have somewhat different interpretations of the pasuk, al pi apshat, based on the simple reading of the pasuk. Again, to see what Chazal say in the pasuk, you need Chazal. In other words, you wouldn't read al odos o isha hakushis asher lokach. That would not automatically lead you to the reading of the pasuk the way Chazal read it, were it not for the fact that we have a mesorah, that we have a tradition that that's the way to read it. Fine, okay. So there's a lot of discussion on that pasuk. The Sfarno and that pasuk says nothing. And I find that astounding, because, again, the Sfarno goes pasuk by pasuk. You know, some psukim, okay, you know, you could read the simple pshat, you don't necessarily need so much interpretation. This is a pasuk, however you're going to interpret it, that's crying out for some kind of interpretation. What's going on over here? This is especially true given the fact that the Sfarno in his Akdama, his introduction to Sefer Bereishis, says that one of the things that prompted him to write this commentary was that there were people who would read the Chumash and they would walk away with negative attitudes towards some of the great tzaddikim who are depicted and described in Chumash. Right, to take one very salient example, You know, some people read the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev about how Yosef's brother sold him into slavery, and they jump to the conclusion. They say, "Oh wow, what a terrible band of people!" You know, I mean, you take your brother, throw him into a pit, throw him into slavery. That doesn't sound very nice. If my brother did that to me, I'd be a little upset. You know, so the Sfarno, we know, takes pains in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev to explain, you know, where the brothers were coming from. You know, you have to understand their point of view of it. They judged Yosef to be a rode if he was pursuing. Okay, you know, whatever he says over there. But, you know, clearly one of the agendas that the Sfarno has in his commentary is to try to help us understand the acts of the tzaddikim described in Chumash, whose acts sometimes require interpretation if we just read, you know, the simple pshat in the Chumash. So this is also a pasuk. The pasuk read simply may reflect poorly on Moshe Rabbeinu. He took a woman who was a Cushite as a wife. What does that mean? That he intermarried? Is that what it means? You know, it may reflect poorly on Aaron and Miriam. Why were they getting involved, you know, and talking behind the back of Moshe Rabbeinu about his marital choices, right? So, you know, you'd think there's room for the Sfarno to come and set the record straight, to say something about the pasuk. And again, what I find just astounding over here is the fact that he starts his discussion of the perek with pasuk beis. He has absolutely nothing to say on pasuk aleph. I don't have a good explanation for that. If somebody at some point wants to come up with a good interpretation, a good explanation for his silence, I would be very curious to hear it. Maybe we'll discover some old version of the Sfarno where there is actually a commentary on pasuk aleph. That would be very interesting. You know, some manuscript in some library somewhere where he actually did write a commentary on pasuk aleph. I don't know. Until we find it, we can't really postulate that there's such a thing out there. But I just find it astonishing that he mamash has nothing to say on the first pasuk. On the second pasuk, he does have what to say. But second pasuk goes, by Yomru, they said, Harak ach b'moshe diber Hashem. Was it only with Moshe Rabbeinu that Hashem spoke? Halo gambonu diber. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke with us as well. On that, the Sfarno comments, Ha'omna Moshe levado, was it only Moshe Rabbeinu who received nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Milvad Moshe Zochim Kol Amon Yisrael B'matan Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, all of the Jewish people received nevuah from Hashem when it came to Matan Torah, and they received a very high level of nevuah from Hashem when it came to Matan Torah. They saw things at Matan Torah that no one had seen before and no one has seen since. So really, all of Klal Yisrael is on a certain level of nevuah, a certain level of prophecy. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu think that he's special, that he's different? Now, the Sfarno doesn't elaborate why all of a sudden they were prompted to speak about Moshe Rabbeinu's level of nevuah. According to Rashi, again, quoting from Chazal, we understand what prompted this whole discussion. Oh, he's separated from his wife. The rest of us didn't separate from our spouses. Apparently, the rest of us don't feel that nevuah and marital life have to be at odds with one another. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu think he's different than everybody else? According to the Sfarno, what's that?
Maybe I should have told.
Yeah, okay, no, so that is the answer, of course, right? But at least, you know, in terms of where they're coming from, why does he think he's special? Why does he think he's different? According to the Sfarno, it's not, you know, again, the Sfarno doesn't tell us how he interprets pasuk aleph, so we're left a little bit in the dark as to what prompted, all of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, Miriam and Aaron's complaint that Moshe Rabbeinu, why is he different, special, you know, unique, vis-a-vis all the rest of us. I should note, according to the Sfarno, that there's one word in the pasuk which, you know, the Sfarno seems to understand a little bit differently than I think the traditional or most of the other Mefarshim, and that is the word bonu. The pasuk says, halo gam bonu diber. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't just speak to Moshe Rabbeinu, he spoke to us as well. Who's us? So I think the standard interpretation is that Miriam and Aaron are saying, we're Nevi'im also. And again, according to the standard interpretation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't ask us, we don't see it as being necessary for us to separate from our spouses. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu see it as being necessary separating from his wife? Banu means Miriam and Aaron. I think it's pretty clear in the Sfarno, Banu, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has spoken to us. Banu, according to the Sfarno, means Klal Yisrael. In other words, Miriam and Aaron are not speaking about themselves as Nevi'im vis-a-vis Moshe Rabbeinu. They're saying we're part of this whole people called Klal Yisrael, and all of Klal Yisrael had a level of Nevuah. They didn't have a level of Nevuah comparable with Miriam and Aaron, but maybe it didn't matter. In other words, the experience of Matan Torah, which raised up the Jewish people to such a level, was so profound that Miriam and Aaron apparently felt that Moshe Rabbeinu really wasn't different than everybody else in terms of that level of Nevuah. Again, it's a hard thing to kind of picture. Really? You don't think Moshe Rabbeinu is in a class by himself? That's what it sounds like, according to the Sfarna. So, Vayishma Hashem, the Pasuk says at the end, Hashem heard what they said. And obviously the question that's bothering the Sfarno is Hashem always hears. So why is it, you know, why is it unique over here that Vayishma Hashem? So the Sfarno interprets Vayishma Hashem, Hashem heard, to mean Hashem, right, so to speak, you know, was bothered. Again, obviously in divine terms, like he heard and was bothered by what they had to say. Ka'amram Zal, as Chazal say, says the Sfarno, Shani Tsurba de Rabbana de Kud Shabricho Tova Biyikare. When it comes to a Talmud Chacham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sticks up for that Talmud Chacham when his kavod is somehow challenged. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got to stick up for the kavod of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he calls the three of them to Oel Moed, and then Hashem comes and speaks to Aaron and Miriam, and he says as follows, Pasuk Vav, Vayomer Shimuna Devaroi, listen to my words. Im yihyeh nevi'achem, if you would have your prophet, Hashem b'mara elav esvado, b'chalom adaber bo. Hashem, I would reveal myself to him in a vision. In a dream, I would speak to him. Lo chein avdi Moshe. My servant Moshe is not so. B'chol beisi ne'mon hu. He is faithful to me out of all the people in my house. Pe'el pe'adaber bo, I speak to him mouth to mouth. Umare v'lo v'chidos, I display myself without riddles. Usmunas Hashem yabit, he's able to look into the image of Hashem himself. Umadua lo yireisim l'daber b'avdi b'moshe, how is it that you were not afraid to speak against my servant Moshe? The general sense of these psukim is that Moshe Rabbeinu is on a different level than a regular Navi, right? That's clearly the general sense of these psukim. But what exactly the difference is something that we have to explain a little bit further. Also, the syntax in Pasuk Vav is very curious. Let's just read it and translate it phrase by phrase. We'll see, it doesn't, on the surface, it doesn't flow very easily. Im yiyah nevi'achem, if there will be your Navi, which is a strange phrase. If there will be your Navi, what does that mean? Hashem. Okay. Bamara elav esvado, I appear to him through a vision. So Hashem here is speaking in the first person. Esvado, I appear. So what is the word Hashem? How does that fit into the syntax of the Pasuk? Im yiyah nevi'achem, if there will be your Navi, Hashem, I will appear to him through a vision. It's clumsy. It doesn't really read straight. So what? Obviously, it does read straight. We're just not reading it straight, right? So, but what does it mean? So, bothered by these questions, the Sfarno says the Pshat and Pasuk is as follows: Im hayo Moshe Navi, ba'osa hamadrega shechashavtem be'emarchem halo gambanu diber. So first of all, the phrase im yihyeh nevi'achem, you know, if there will be your Navi, is to be translated as follows: if you think Moshe is simply your kind of Navi, that's what the phrase means. If you think Moshe Rabbeinu is just like a Navi, like you're thinking everybody's a Navi, if you thought he's a Navi just like everybody, right, as you said, halo gambonu diber, Hashem is communicating to everybody, that's totally wrong. You're missing the point. So in other words, it's an if-then statement. If you think Moshe Rabbeinu is just a run-of-the-mill Navi, he's Nevi'achem, he's just like your Navi. So the implied words in the Pasuk then go on to say, you're wrong. Why are you wrong? Because Hashem
a bemara elov esvado. Lo hayisi no dalo v'nigla alov bozeh Hashem ela bemara.
The Svarno is about to present the following idea. There are several differences between a regular Navi and a Navi on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. One of those differences is when Hashem appears to the Navi using the Shem Havaya, the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. And what he goes on to explain is as follows. Hashem appears to other Nevi'im using the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. Again, you look through the Sifrei HaNevi'im, you know, Nevi'im Achronim in particular, there are plenty of times when Hashem appears to the Navi and the Navi describes Hashem using the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. But there's something special about that name. Of course, that's the most intimate, most the holiest of Hashem's different names, the most the one that directly describes him to the greatest extent that we have. You know, it's his kaviyachal, as it were. It's his personal name, as it were. So Hashem typically only appears to a Navi using the name Yud Kei Vav Kei b'mara, in a vision, as opposed to when the Navi is awake. The Navi has to be asleep in order to see the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. Now, as we'll see, the Svarna will say the Navi sometimes can experience Nevuah when he's awake as well, a regular Navi. Right? A Navi doesn't only experience Nevuah when he's asleep, he can also experience it while awake, but he'll never have a combination of the two factors. He'll never be awake and experience Hashem's presence as Yud Kei Vav Kei. He can only get that, whatever this means exactly, I don't pretend to know what it means, but a Nevuah where he encounters Yud Kei Vav Kei can only be when he's asleep. So that's what the pasuk, this phrase in the pasuk means. Hashem b'mara elav esvada. It's in the first person. Hashem says, I will appear to that Navi in a vision. I will appear to that Navi as Yud Kei Vav Kei in the Mara, in the vision. That's the meaning of the Shem Hashem that's invoked in this pasuk. I only appear to the Navi as Yud Kei Vav Kei in a dreamlike state. Lo hayisi no dalo v'nigla alav b'zeh Hashem ela b'mara. I will only appear using this name in a vision. Lo b'hakitz, not when I'm awake, not when the Navi is awake. Kemo shahayah in b'Yeshayahu, right? So, for instance, we find that Yeshayahu Navi encounters Hashem using the Shem Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? That's the haftarah that we read Parshas Yisrael Yeshayah Perik Vav v'ere es havaya. Yoshev al kisei ram v'nisa. Yeshayahu Hanavi says, I saw this vision and I saw Yud Kei Vav Kei sitting on this throne in the Beis Hamikdash. But in a vision. Right. So in other words, Yeshayahu Hanavi uses the Shem Hashem, but I only saw that in a vision. I wasn't awake. V'chein b'michoyu, ro'isi es havayo Yoshev al kisei. Michayahu Hanavi, who's referenced in Sefer Melachim, also describes a vision in which he sees Yud Kei Vav Kei sitting on his throne, but again, it's a vision. V'choze b'mare ha'nevuah b'lisafik lo b'hakitz. These Nevi'im were not awake at the time, they saw it in a vision. Aye, there's a counterexample, Bilam. Now Bilam, we know, had this very interesting relationship with Nevuah. On the one hand, he was a disgusting person. On the other hand, Chazal tell us that, you know, lokom Navi od b'Yisrael kemoshe, b'Yisrael lokom avu b'umas ha'olam kom, that on some level Bilam had certain properties of Nevuah that were analogous to those of Moshe Rabbeinu. So he was in a weird kind of way, he was up there, whatever that means. So Bilam, we find that Bilam experienced Hashem appearing to him not in a dream, but while he was awake. Bilam afal pisha haya hadibur a love behakitz, he was awake. How do we know that he was awake? Because Bilam says about himself that he was no fail uglui einayim. He fell when Hashem appeared to him, but he was glui einayim. His eyes were opened up. What does it mean? His eyes were opened up. It means, says the Svarno, that he was awake. So he was awake. Okay. So that's something pretty unique. However, lo hayo lo b'shem hamiyuchad. Even though he was awake, he didn't have an experience of Hashem as Yud Kei Vav Kei. How do we see that? So the Svarno has
a beautiful diyuk in the psukim in Parshas Balak. So when Bilam says to Balak, I'm going to go off and build my altars, and maybe Hashem is going to appear to me, he says, Ulai yikare yudke vovke likrosi. Bilam says, perhaps Havaya, yudke vovke, will appear to me. That's Bilam's hope. What happens? A few psukim later, a pasuk later, it says, Vayikar Elokim El Bilam. Elokim appeared to Bilam. So in other words, he had a prophecy, and he was awake, but it wasn't Yudke Vavke. Right? It was Elokim. Right? And Elokim is less of an intimate connection than Yudke Vavke. So that distinction, says the Sfarno, we can all see in the pasuk over here, that's describing Im Yihya Neviachem. Your type of Navi, your regular, homegrown Navi, so Yudke Vavke Bemaro Elov Esvato. Yudke Vavke can appear to that Navi, but only Bemaro Bachalom, only in a dream, right? Lo Chein Avdi Moshe, continues the Pasuk, the next Pasuk. Not so when it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu. Shehadibur Imo B'Shem HaMiyuchod Hu Behakibs. Moshe Rabbeinu has the two qualities put together. He can communicate with Yudke Vavke while he's awake. Right? Bilam communicated with Elokim while he was awake. Yeshayo and Michayu communicated with Yudke Vavke while they were asleep. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to put both together. Yudke Vavke while awake. And he explains this. He goes on to explain as follows. Pe'o pe'a daberbo. The Pasuk says, Hashem says, I speak to Moshe Rabbeinu peh el peh, mouth to mouth. Shanavu elav, he built it tardemas chushov. That's another way of saying that he's awake. Peh el peh, again, obviously the question is, you know, what does it mean? What does it mean, mouth to mouth? It's not even, obviously it can't be understood literally from the point of view of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a mouth. So what do you mean, mouth to mouth? I appeared to him. It means I appeared to him while he's still functioning, right? His mouth is still functioning. Umare velo bechidos. See, here's an interesting example of where dikduk can make a difference. In the last pasuk, we learned how Hashem appears to a regular Navi, bimara. And here it talks about how Hashem appears to Moshe Rabbeinu, bimare. Almost the same word, but with the Navi, with the other Navi, it's bimara with a kamatz. When speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu, it's b'mar'eh with the segel. What's the difference? The difference is everything in the world. B'mara means in a dream. B'mar'eh, he says, is lashon zachar hanikra asprak lauya hami'ira etzel chazal. The word mar'eh is what Chazal referred to as the asprak lauya hami'ira, that Moshe Rabbeinu had this privilege. He was able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu through a clear looking glass. And that word for a glass is mar'eh with a segel. So in other words, there are two words that are spelled exactly alike, but depending on how you pronounce them a little bit differently, they mean very, very different things. Mar'ah is a dream. Mar'eh is a looking glass. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Moshe Rabbeinu through a looking glass. Right? B'mar'eh v'lo b'chidos, but not with riddles. What does it mean for Hashem to appear to someone with riddles? So, as opposed to other Nevi'im, says the Sfarno, Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu, Dibur Mevuar B'li Chida. When Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's clear, and there are no riddles. What are riddles? Lo ke'irin b'zecharyo v'zulaso, shiro chidos u'mesholim. Take, for example, the example of Zecharyo Hanavi. And here, we need no further than simply the Haftarah, which we're going to read this Shabbos. Right, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Zecharyah HaNavi in the Haftarah, which we read by Aloscha, and he shows him a menorah. And he says to Zecharyah, do you understand what you're seeing? And Zecharyah says, no, I don't get it. Right, in other words, the Maluch in the dream has to explain to Zecharyah HaNavi, this is the symbolism of what you're seeing. That says the Sfarno, that's a classic example of a chida, of a riddle. In other words, It's not like you get a direct communication from Hashem and Hashem explains what's going on over here. You got to figure it out. It's a puzzle. I'm going to give you a puzzle. I'm going to give you a picture, and you'll figure out what the meaning of the picture is. So other Nevi'im receive Nevuos like that. And in fact, I believe that's one of the explanations as to why we lane the Haftar for Pashas, for Pashas Balosko from Zechariah. The more obvious explanation is that, you know, the Pashas Balosko starts off talking about a menorah, and the Haftar also talks about the vision that Zechariah had of a menorah. But another explanation that's given is that this Haftarah accentuates not the beginning of the Pasha, but the end of the Pasha. The end of the Pasha talks about how Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was so unique. And you want to see how it was so unique and it was so different, just look in the Haftarah. Look at Zechariah HaNavi and look at how, you know, he was, he had these riddles. He didn't quite understand what was going on. The Malach says to him, Allah Yodato Mohema Eila. Don't you understand what this is all about? V'omar lo Adoni? No, actually, haven't got a clue, right? And mehem hayu shiroes hamisholim. Some saw misholim, things that represented other things. So Yirmiyahu Navi at the beginning of his nevuah, right, sees the makel shoked. He sees the almond branch. He sees the pot that's boiling over. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, just tell me what you want to tell me. Yeah, you want to show me a boiling pot? You want to? Yeah. No, but that's the way it works with the other Nevi'im. That's different than Moshe Rabbeinu. And that usmunas yud kevav ke yabit. Moshe Rabbeinu sees the tzmuna, the image of yud kevav ke. What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a body. What do you mean? What are you talking about? He sees the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol zehu masig im hi galos eilav b'shem hamiyuchad. That's what it means to have an encounter with Hashem as yud ke vav ke while you're awake. That's usmunas yud ke vav ke yabit. He's able to see while awake everything that comes along with yud ke vav ke, i.e. a direct communication, a clear communication, no riddles, no mishalim, nothing of that. If it was just Elokim, so then that would have been unclear. But Smunas Hashem Yabit is the way of describing the clarity of Moshe Rabbeinu's vision, something that he had as a Navi, which other Nevi'im were simply not Zoche to have that degree of clarity. I want to wish everyone a good Shabbos, and Be'ez Hashem will continue next week. I just want to note next week, so Baruch Hashem, all for good reasons, I'll be giving the shiur Monday and Thursday nights, but Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday I'll be away next week. So, okay, everyone will learn on their own. Be'ez Hashem.